From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Jennifer Mitchell with the news on this day in Maine, April 23rd, 2020. Second District Congressman Jared Golden says he is supporting the latest stimulus bill to address the economic problems caused by the coronavirus pandemic. But as Mal Leary reports, Golden says there is still more that needs to be done.
Golden says the $484 billion in additional money for the Paycheck Protection Program, hospitals, and testing are all necessary. But he says he does not think it will be enough to meet the needs created by the pandemic. He foresees at least two major bills in the next few months to address short-term needs and the long-term rebuilding of the economy.
I think Congress needs to get right to work on that, and it shouldn't just be Democratic and Republican leadership in the House and Senate, but Congress in its entirety.
Golden says no one can predict with any certainty how long the virus will keep businesses from opening and putting people back to work. He says Congress will need to keep a safety net in place until the economy starts to rebound. Then it should pass legislation to help build a post-pandemic economy. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Child care providers in Maine are set to receive about $11 million to deal with the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic. The money comes from the federal relief bill passed last month. The funds provide a one-time stipend to eligible child care providers and will also support them once they can resume their services following the pandemic. Heather Marden, board chair for the Maine Association of the Education of Young Children, says the money is a welcome first step for many providers.
Just the relief of knowing that something is coming, I think, has made a lot of providers take that deep breath and go, okay, I've got something coming at least. So, I think if we can just continue to build on that and, ultimately the outcome is that we don't lose any child care programs after this crisis.
But Marden says those providers are going to need a lot more support in the months to come. The state says it's also temporarily expanding its child care subsidy program to any essential employees who still need to go to work, regardless of income.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Modern Pest Services, committed to taking an intelligent approach to pest control. Learn more at modernpest.com. And by the Dempsey Center, making life better for people managing the impact of cancer. Locations in Lewiston and South Portland. DempseyCenter.org.
On the next Maine Calling, gardening in the time of COVID-19. I'm Keith Shortall. As Mainers look for ways to safely spend time outdoors and perhaps augment their own food supplies, interest in gardening has surged. Talk with our gardening experts about how to get started this season and what to plant when. And as always, they'll answer your questions. Maine Calling, Friday, live at 1 and rebroadcast at 7 on Maine Public Radio.
Well, Maine Governor Janet Mills today outlined the guideposts that her administration plans to use in attempting to reopen the state's economy. But her announcement came amid 5 new reported deaths from the novel coronavirus, the largest single-day total for Maine so far. Steve Missler has more.
Mills's remarks during Thursday's daily briefing attempted to strike a balance between hope and reality. On one hand, she sought to reassure Mainers that her administration is crafting a plan to lift restrictions on business operations and social gatherings, a welcome prospect for a state that's been under a stay-at-home order for nearly a month. But on the other, Mills noted that the virus remains a lethal threat.
Today we heard the sobering statistics from Dr. Shaw. 30 new cases, 5 deaths. More than in any previous day, bringing the total number of lives lost to 44.
The spike in cases and fatalities is the latest evidence that COVID-19 continues to ravage Maine and other states. And like other states, the virus is especially deadly at long-term care facilities and nursing homes. All 5 of the deaths reported Thursday were residents at the Maine Veterans Home in Scarborough, where 48 cases have been recorded and 10 people have died. Those grim statistics were the backdrop for the governor's promise to pursue a phased reopening of the economy that's tethered to a scientific assessment of the COVID-19 threat. She says Maine's approach will be cautious and measured.
The approach we take is defined by flexibility, practicality, listening, and continued communication. It's not measured by hard lines or fixed timetables or dubious deadlines.
Instead, the governor says her administration will monitor trends in COVID-19 cases, hospitalization rates, and the capacity of the state's healthcare system. Mills says the state is also trying to increase testing and tracing to help curtail future outbreaks. And she invited Maine citizens and business leaders to offer ideas on ways to safely open certain parts of the economy through a new portal at the Department of Economic and Community Development. In the meantime, Mills says she and other New England governors are continuing talks with a focus on ways to limit travel between states. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Governor Mills is stressing that she wants a collaborative approach with the business community to design specific protocols for reopening the state's economy while preserving public safety during the pandemic. Dana Connors, president of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce, says the invitation will be taken up by businesses that have been anxiously awaiting a positive signal.
We're still going to have those social distancing needs. We're still going to have hygiene. We're still going to have to do a lot of things in different ways. But looking at us individually, if you will, compared to nothing can open until the entire state is open, I think today that door was opened.
Connors acknowledges that any economic return will likely be phased in only once public health officials say certain benchmarks for controlling the virus have been met. And he says the effort will need to be responsive to safety challenges that might arise, for instance, if a particular geographic area is reopened and sees an unmanageable surge of tourism as a result. Maine's restaurant and hotel owners watched as Governor Mills delivered her press conference today, hoping for an indicator of when and how exactly they'll start reopening the state's pandemic-plagued economy. Steve Hewens of the industry group Hospitality Maine says while Mills did not set out a date, she did say set specific public health benchmarks that would need to be met, and even said that she'd like to see tourists coming back in July or August.
You know, the industry in Maine, Memorial Day starts to really kick things in. I think July 4th, though, is when we're fully operational in 100% capacity. If we can get there, that would be awesome. But it's going to be really a difficult path to travel.
Hewens says he's working with the administration to devise a standardized plan for lodging and restaurants to safely phase in operations and build up capacity. He says many are willing to try that approach, although some are likely to stay shuttered until they can open 100% before opening at all. Meanwhile, more than 11,500 Mainers sought new unemployment benefits last week, the smallest number of new claims in the 5 weeks since businesses were impacted by the coronavirus. But the Maine Department of Labor says jobless claims in Maine remain at a historic high, and those continuing their unemployment is also at a record high. More than 101,000 Mainers have filed for first-time unemployment over the last 5 weeks. That's more than all such claims dating back to August 2017 combined. The department reports that especially hard hit are food services and lodging industries, health care and social assistance, retail, manufacturing, and also the entertainment and recreational sectors. Well, the COVID-19 pandemic has put a lot of stress on college students as well. In just a few weeks, many have had to pack up their bags, leave campus, and then transition to new online classes. And for those set to graduate this spring, the economic uncertainty caused by the pandemic has many on edge and some rethinking their plans after graduation. Robbie Feinberg has more.
Hunter Chesley says she hasn't gotten much sleep over the past month. She's a senior at the University of Maine at Augusta, and she's anxious about COVID-19, how it could affect her family, and what it could mean for her future.
It is hard because I feel anxious all the time. I'm nervous that I won't be able to get a job after graduation. So that's kind of all I'm thinking about right now. So just because I'm scared people are going to not be hiring and the economy and things like that.
Chesley's path toward a college degree has had a couple of twists and turns. She transferred out of UMA to study medical assisting before eventually re-enrolling at the school to major in mental health and human services. She wants to get into social work. But the COVID-19 pandemic has upended her plans. She's on a tight budget, and with businesses closing and millions losing jobs nationwide, she's stressed about how to make her finances work in an uncertain economy.
You know, the stimulus checks just came out and things like that. And because I'm a college student and my parents claimed me last year, I don't qualify for a check. So finances are definitely tight, and it's very worrisome, and especially where, you know, I don't know what's next for a job and things like that.
Things were great. You know, a month ago we had, you know, 2.5% unemployment. Everybody had job offers. It was, you know, this wonderful time and very optimistic. And then boom, it's just like this big crash of uncertainty.
Chrisanne Blackie is the director of the University of Maine Career Center. She says that constant uncertainty over the last month has been unnerving for students as they attempt to finish the semester online and search for jobs and internships. Because of the uncertain job market, she says, some students are now talking about grad school instead. But Blackie also sees some positive signs. Job postings, for example, are still coming in, she says. And she's encouraging students to consider opportunities that they might not have thought about in the past.
So I think if they can go forward and embrace the uncertainty and say, okay, I'm willing maybe to take a job that I hadn't looked at before because it wasn't really what I was interested in, but I could do this job or I could do an internship or I could volunteer, and look at everything that they do as an opportunity to develop skills, to learn about themselves, they may be surprised at where they end up in a very different place than where they thought.
For some seniors, COVID-19 restrictions are already changing the location and type of jobs they're seeking. Timothy Kaplowitz, a senior from Bates College, now living at home in New York, says a few months ago he was planning to move to a new city and start a career in film.
But at this point, obviously, it's completely impossible to like go look for apartments in some other city. At this point, like, I'm just going to try and find something near New York just because it's easier, it's more manageable. So in that sense, it's really changed the course that I thought my life was going to take, I guess. But in terms of like what I'm applying for, I think I'm applying for like similar things for the most part, but I certainly am being much less selective over what jobs I apply for and what jobs I don't, just because like I just need a job.
Kaplowitz's classmate, Ryan Lazanik, is a Portland native and Bates student government president. He's had similar conversations with other out-of-state students who aren't likely to return.
I've talked to a few students who have said, I don't have the economic means to come back to Maine anytime soon, or it doesn't make sense for me to come back to Maine anytime soon. And for me, as a Mainer, it's really concerning to see all these really amazing, bright young people who are going to stay in the state now being like, okay, I don't see economic opportunities here anymore with the economic decline, and also I don't have the ability to come back.
At the University of Maine at Augusta, senior Hunter Chesley says she intends to stay in the state after graduation. She's also expanding the kinds of positions she's looking at. And in the meantime, she's helped to set up Zoom meetings for students 3 times a week, where she and her classmates can talk about their challenges.
For students to be able to have a chance to talk with somebody who's going through the same thing. And
while the anxiety and uncertainty aren't likely to go away anytime soon, Chesley hopes the meetings can reassure students that they're not alone. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock, where the program looks at the surge of interest in gardening during COVID-19. I'm Jennifer Mitchell.